Welcome, everyone, to episode 6 of the Ringside Chat Podcast. I'm Gary Freeland, and with me, as always, is Joe Kaczynski and Court Montgomery. How you guys doing?
Going on.
Pretty good, guys. Sorry, I'm already opening a beer. It's early.
We're going to need it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we got this one a little more under control this week, guys.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath.
No, we actually, Joe has come prepared this week.
I did.
That's one of us, so that's good. Frickin' A.
Frickin' A.
So what the hell are we going to talk about this week?
All right. Well, an idea that I had been kicking around was, before we started this pro wrestling podcast, I thought about doing a retro gaming one because I'm real big into collecting retro games. Have a Facebook group about it and stuff. So I figured, what better way to, you know, test the waters and see what, you know, about coming up with a retro gaming podcast than do an episode or two on classic pro wrestling video games. I know a lot of our listeners, including ourselves, grew up on these games. And some of us probably forgot about these games or didn't know these games, some of these games existed. So I just figured that, to do an episode based on the 8-bit and 16-bit era in the U.S., I decided to leave out handhelds, arcades, computers, and things like, and the Japanese imports, just because we'd be here all fucking day if I did that one. So I just figured break a couple, well, 20 or so games down, talk a little bit about them, get your guys' feel, you know, memories, you know, feedback, whatever, talk a little bit about them, and just, you know, figure this would be a nice little topic, so.
Well, I'm excited, because I used to be a big gamer, you know, before adulthood kicked me into balls, but from the list that you gave me, and I won't go through them because I know we're going to get to them, I actually own at least over half of these, so I've got some decent experience on them, so I mean, I'm pretty excited about this, honestly.
Yeah, I think this will be good. A lot of these games I have went out and purchased. Some of them I haven't, whether because I don't have the systems or whatever. So I've checked YouTube videos. One in particular was a guy by the name of Joe Gagne. He did a whole series on these games on YouTube, and then, you know, through Wikipedia and other things like that, collected all the information. So that's how I've come to, you know, in contact with some of these games, especially the ones I don't own. So
nice.
All right. Well, we'll start off with a quick little Atari one. They have a game called Title Match Pro Wrestling. It came out for the 2600, 7800, and 87. This is pretty much going to be one of the ones that's out of order as far as the date goes. I try to put this in by date. Just because it's the only game really for the Atari. It was published by Activision, which is a big title for, a big publisher for them back in the day. And it features only two modes, which is one-on-one and tag team. And there's four sets of wrestlers you can choose from. A guy by the name of Big Chief, Mr. Mean, Skinhead, and Mad Dog. Very limited moveset. Just things like airplane spins, body slams, and power lifts. And using some of these...
Power lift?
I have no clue. That's what... When I watched the video, that's what the people were calling. So I was like, yes, power lift's a thing, but...
It blows my mind, because I honestly had no idea Atari had any kind of wrestling titles at all.
Yeah, I mean, the 7800 had a little bit more buttons to their controller than a 2600. So 2600 just had the stick and then the one button. So seeing something like this and try to figure out how to do a wrestling game kind of like blew my mind a little bit. The 2600 graphics look shitty.
Right.
7800 ones don't look that bad, but that's a game that
for the time, I guess, you know, we're kind of spoiled.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I figure, you know, with 87, you know, what was out there, I mean, I guess it'd be a game that you'd probably want to own, but pretty much Atari was dead by then. So, all the kids had the Nintendo, or if you were lucky enough, you had a Master System, so. I don't want to spend too much time on that one. This one is one that I'm sure a lot of people had, if you had a Master System. And if you didn't, you know the box art, which is the severed head of a wrestler in a headlock. And this is the pro wrestling for the Sega Master System. It got published and developed by Sega in 86. This is actually a port of a Japanese arcade game. The only difference between this game and the Japanese one is theirs had an all-female mode, and you also had the ability to fight aliens.
Wait, time out. Stop where you're at. Do what?
You can have an all-female mode.
No, I heard that part. Let's get to the next part.
Or you can fight aliens.
You say that so calmly, like it's a completely normal thing.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, doing the research of some of these games that were ported from Japanese titles, some of the things that the Japanese put in their games, it doesn't fucking shock me. So, you wait till we get to the next game after this one. It trust me, this is the least shocking one there is.
Hell, just look at Japanese wrestling in general. They have fucking Leatherface and Jason, and they steal from movies and shit all the time for their characters.
I can't say too much, because I've actually wrestled as Michael Myers at least 3 times.
There you go.
You definitely have
the build for Michael Myers.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah.
The first one. Not any after that, but the original, completely.
Yep.
Well, this one, you got to choose between one of 4 tag teams. They have the Crush Brothers, which is kind of like the Babyfaces, the Orient Express, the Great Masked Men, and the Mad Soldiers. Once you do that, you have to wrestle for 3 championships in 3 different regions. There's a Mexican League, a Pacific League, and a World League that takes place in New York City. But the bad part is, in order to win this, you have to defeat each tag team in a set of 10 rounds.
Oh my God.
Yes, it takes forever. And it's not an easy game. There's really not a lockup. You have to, like, pretty much wear down your opponent and get him to the ground, then you'll be able to lock it up. The controls are kind of iffy. But the one nice thing is the graphics and the animation are pretty nice. I'm a big fan of the Sega Master System, and the look of them, at least the look of this game, is pretty good compared to what was out for the NES at the time.
Honestly, I have no experience with the Sega Master System at all. Don't know shit about it. So, I mean, I kind of want to check that out.
Well, the Master System, it's basically Sega's answer to the Nintendo. And it's an 8-bit system. Basically has a lot better, equipment than what the NES had. But, you know, Nintendo had the better games and the better, you know, licenses and stuff. So, that's why not many people had it, but I mean, it's definitely a system worth checking out.
Are they pricey these days?
I bought mine with 2 controllers, the system, and a couple games for like $130.
That's not bad.
No, and each game is at least you can get a decent library of games, with each game costing around anywhere between $10 and $20. I mean, there's some expensive ones out there, but you really don't need them unless you want to play like an Alex Kidd or Phantasy Star, but other than that.
Okay, cool.
So, Gary, did you play this one at all? Because I know you have your Retro Pie.
No, I didn't play this one. This is one of the very few games that I don't have on my Raspberry Pi. I'm going to have to hunt that down, though, because it does sound interesting, and I wouldn't mind beating the shit out of some aliens, so.
Yeah, seriously. And the one thing I failed to mention is you can go outside the ring on this one and use steel chairs.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah.
Fancy for a 8-bit.
Seriously. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a nice game to have, so. But picking back on the Alien one, let's turn to the Nintendo now. So the first pro wrestling game for Nintendo is called Muscle, Tag Team Match. Now Muscle is a Japanese cartoon, or a manga, and it also had its own toy line. And we got the toy line over here in America, but this Japanese cartoon is about a cosmic prince who must save the galaxy by fighting in intergalactic wrestling tournaments.
So back to Aliens, gotcha.
Yeah. So some of you listeners or whatever will probably remember these figures. They're probably about 2 to 3 inches tall. They're plastic. They're kind of like nude color. And they have different characters. There was so many of these things. And so the game's based on that. The game isn't that good. The only really significance for this game is it's the first legit third-party title for the NES because they were not allowing any third-party games at this point. Just to try to keep it down and or at least limit the amount of third-party. They didn't want to turn into Atari. But anyways, it features a single mode for like one-on-one bouts, tag team, and the game is terrible. The only highlights are there's 3 wrestling rings. One's a regular ring, and the other one's an ice ring that has a player slipping and sliding all over, and then they have an electrified ring.
That sounds amazing. I mean, yeah. It's a shame that the game is shit, but it sounds amazing.
Well, every time you throw your opponent into the ropes, they like jump around like they're getting zipped. But
wow,
yeah. So the grapple system is still not here yet. There is an energy ball that bounces around the ring that you can collect, and essentially you Hulk up your character. There's a few guys on this roster. There's the main character, which is Muscle Man, and there's Terry Man, there's Ray Man, like the noodles. There's Robin Mask, Terry Bull, Wars Man, Geronimo, and Ashura Man. I can't find anything good about this game. The graphics are terrible. The controls are terrible. The only thing that's kind of neat is the 3 rings.
Do you have any insight on why the figures are all flesh-colored? Because, I mean, I'm looking at pictures of them right now. Right. They're kind of cool. Like, the detail's really cool on them. There's a lot of different types, but to me, it's really odd that they're just flesh-colored.
I just think it was an easy thing for them to make and sell them pretty cheap, because at the time, you could buy, it came in packs of 10 and 20. You could buy a pack of 10 in the 80s for, like a buck something. You could buy even a pack of 20 for, like $5 or so. So I just think they were just a cheap, easy way to market a toy. So, you know, try to do less work.
Honest to God, it looks, as I'm looking at them, it looks like Kaiju Big Battle stole 95% of their characters from these little figurines.
Oh, absolutely. And one of them Yeah, and one of them actually has a Japanese-style toilet in the front of it.
Yeah.
Time out. Yeah. No, are you serious?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the funny thing is, like, they came over here, and Mattel sold the toys over here. And their thinking was, well, it's based on a cartoon, and you got all these different characters. Normally, they would localize it for themselves. They didn't care. So there's a lot of Japanese writing on these figures that came over here that they never localized or anything. They just left it as is. It's an alright game. You want to check it out? Or you want to criticize? It's just watch a video of it. It's not worth your time.
Well, I kind of want to go look up and see how much the figures are.
They're cheap. They're like a dollar or so a piece. On eBay, I just looked them up.
Oh, well, wow. You know, I like my figures.
Well, the funny thing is, the Funko reaction toy line that does like a lot of like Kenner style action figures and stuff.
Yeah, I got a few of those.
Well, they're actually redoing muscle figures. They have a whole line devoted to the Alien franchise right now.
No.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that because I have a bunch of. I had the Star Trek and the Back to the Future reaction figures.
So, yeah, if you go
here,
good. I was gonna say if you go on their website, they're all up there, so you can take a look at them.
Awesome.
I'm also looking as I do research while I'm recording because I'm a professional recorder. It says that this show, the manga, was a parody of superhero staples like Ultraman and Superman.
Yeah, yeah, because Muscle Man's the main character, and he has a luchador look to him.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, these are kind of cool looking, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and they came. You could buy a wrestling ring for these things. They were almost like an 80s version of Gary had told me earlier, like Karate Fighters or Rock and Sock 'em Robots, where you put these figures in these prongs, and there's a joystick on each end of the ring, and you essentially wrestle with these figures using those joysticks.
Dude, they had a belt holder, like action figure holder, mm-hmm. with the belt, and it looked like, you know, Krang from the fucking Turtles?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like when you put them in there. It's like this, looks like the NWA belt, but there's a hole in the middle of it where you can stick these fucking figures in, and it's big enough to fit an adult. There's an adult Asian person here with this belt on.
Yep.
On this picture I'm looking at. That's kind of cool. I've never even heard, I didn't even know they had figures or anything. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, so this game was developed by Toshi and published by Bandai. For people that collect retro games, you'll find out that Bandai is not the best publisher of games, so. But the next game it's funny because it's actually one of the first wrestling games because it was a 1988 arcade game, but it got ported in 86. This is Tag Team Wrestling for the Nintendo by Data East. It's second game on the NES as far as wrestling goes. But it only has four guys. But you can only pick two of the four guys. Because it's Tag Team Wrestling, essentially. And you pick the team called the Ricky Fighters. Sonny and Terry. And you're taking on the team of the heels called the Strong Bads. Now, the Strong Bads, that sounds familiar because if you've ever watched Homestar Runner, there's a character on there named Strong Bad, and that's what it's based off of.
Well, do you know who the Ricky Fighters are based off of?
Who are the Ricky Fighters based off of?
Ricky Choshu and Super Strong Machine.
There you go.
They actually have different names, what did you say the Ricky Fighters' names were?
Sonny and Terry.
Okay, well, I believe that may have been the Japanese version, because the American version, or maybe I'm backwards, maybe the Japanese version has a different name.
So this game is a lot different than the Muscle, but essentially, it's only two tag teams, and you have to, basically the object of the game is you have to wrestle in a total of 25 matches in order to win the championship.
And it's ridiculous, too, I mean, because you're having the same match, because there's a list of different, I guess, titles you can win, but they're all trophies.
Right.
And each time, you just get a bigger trophy. Like, yeah, that's my motivation to keep playing this shit.
Right.
I got a small trophy. I want to get the extra big trophy.
Well, the funny thing is, this is where the bullshit starts, because it gets ramped up here in a second. Now, unlike Muscle, how you wrestle is completely different. In this, the player has to be the first one to hit the action button. The action button being the A button. But you have to be the first one to do it. But the computer, at times, will always beat you. But anyways, when you get to do that, it'll throw a punch or a kick. From there,
a menu will pop up. Mm-hmm. And with that menu, you have to use the B button to cycle through at least, I think it's like 6 moves, to pick like a thing like a body slam, a drop kick, things like that. And then you have to select it with the A button. But because you're button mashing so fucking much to be that, hit that first move, you essentially already pick your move that you would from the menu, and you're totally fucked. Whereas the computer doesn't have that problem.
And the other thing, too, is that when you're, and finally, I found the names. It's Ricky and Ultra Machine.
Okay, that's what it was.
So, like, for them to do a body slam, for Ricky, you hit B twice. For Ultra Machine, you only hit B once. And that's the thing it sucks about when you tag out. You can't find your rhythm. Like, for a backdrop, you have to hit B 3 times for Ricky. And you have to hit B 6 times for Ultra Machine. It's convoluted as hell. Even though it is convoluted, I always had fun playing the game. I mean, it's terrible, but I had fun.
Well, the thing that gets me is when that menu thing pops up, you only have 3 seconds to hurry up and pick a move.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the computer already, you know, it doesn't have to worry about that.
So. Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Have you played this game?
Briefly, I don't remember all that, but yeah, I would say my major complaint with most of these early renditions of wrestling games was the controls for them were usually dog shit. They were very contrived, and they took a lot of different buttons. I know as we get to the WWE-based games, this is a real problem, especially if you're trying to hit anything more complicated than a punch or a kick. Yeah, I would get frustrated, so I probably broke a lot of controllers when I was a kid. Probably still now.
Alright, so we'll move past the shitty ones, and we'll at least get to one good one right now. So, this one was published by Nintendo, and developed by Nintendo in 1987. So now, if you bought an NES, there were several games that you could get that were developed by Nintendo that were called the Black Box series. And these ones are usually involved like soccer, baseball, 10-yard fight, Super Mario was one, things like that. So if you look at the game, it had a black box that was developed by Nintendo R&D. So one of the ones that was developed and it was part of the sports series was Pro Wrestling on the NES.
That's wild. Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So this one is basically, if you look at games for the NES, this is usually one of the top ones. This was an instant classic for them, but the funny thing is they've never had a follow-up to it. So the game features 6 wrestlers. Fighter Hayabusa, which is basically Inoki. There's Starman, that is a luchador with a blue star on his face, and that's supposed to be Mil Máscaras. Then there's Kin Korn Karn, who's supposed to be Killer Khan. The Amazon, which looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon. Then we've got Giant Panther, who's Hulk Hogan. And number 6 is King Slender, who is supposed to be Ric Flair. Now, at the end of the game, if you beat all the wrestlers, you face off against a guy from a rival promotion. And his name is the Great Puma, and he's essentially Tiger Mask. And he holds every wrestler's essentially finishing move. So if you beat him, you win the game. And this game is famous for the translation of "the winner is you" at the end of the game. So I remember playing this a lot with Gary. You essentially pick your wrestler, you go through all the wrestlers, win the championship, and then you fight the Great Puma. So, what do you guys think?
Alright, I want to ask first off, since we all had the game, or at least all played the game, who was your favorite person to pick?
Starman.
Yeah, definitely, same here.
See, I like Starman, but I also like the Amazon, because you could sit there and bite people's fucking heads.
That's also true.
Yeah.
I can kind of see Ric Flair being King Slender now. I would have never picked that up on my own, but now that you're saying that that's what they were kind of going for,
mm-hmm.
I see it.
Yeah, I think the most obvious is Fighter Hayabusa. I mean, that looks like Inoki. And a lot of them, especially like Inoki's, I think Starman's too, the finishers are exactly right for them.
I will say one person, they didn't get, if you know, you said that they were trying to get, what's his name, Giant Panther, it was Hogan. That was one of the ones that they really went like, we're not going to try to make him look too much like him, because he had short hair and clean shaven, whereas King Slender was being Flair, it was dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Giant Panther did have the hot dog skin like Hulk Hogan.
He did.
That's true.
One of the things that I liked about this game is, it's just a simple small touch, is like the little cameraman that moves back and forth. While the match is going on. I know it's really nothing, but I always thought it added a little bit to the game because it made it feel like more like you're watching it on TV or something at the time. Well then another thing too, and I don't know if you guys remember, if you would win a match, the fans are cheering and it got good sound effects, but it also induces like a seizure inducing like flashing like it was like it would hurt my eye.
It would. One thing that I thought was kind of cool, though, is because, you know, they had the round system.
Mm-hmm.
They would show it in the ring at the bottom, like on the apron.
Right.
And, like, well, it's where they would show the counts and all that, too. So I thought it was neat. You know, and the moves in this game seemed a little better done than previous games, too.
Oh, yeah,
I specifically remember... I can't remember how many people had drop, if they all had drop kicks in the game or not, but I mainly played a Starman. He had a sweet ass, like, backflip drop kick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that stuck out to me is how well stuff like that looked.
Court, did you know they made action figures of this game?
You're shitting me.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna send you the picture here.
Oh, God, please do. That's amazing. I seriously didn't know that.
And they're pretty awesome.
Yeah,
if I didn't already know there was a guy in, like, the Midwest area that was doing the Starman gimmick, I would buy the fucking outfit and do it in the Mid-Atlantic area. Hell, I might still do it anyway. Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
I do know, like, if you go on places like Etsy and stuff, they have T-shirts that you can buy that have the winner as you with all the wrestlers on there, or there's ones that have, like, an old-school... looks like an old school poster that has the main event on there, and it has like Starman versus the Amazon and stuff. So it's those are some memorabilia to go out and check out. But so I know we're not spending too much time on some of these games because it got so many to go through. So we'll leave that one and we'll go to this one. It's another one I'm sure everyone had. The WWF finally decided to come out with a game. So they got a game developed by Rare. If you know who Rare is, Rare did games like GoldenEye and things like that. But it was published by Acclaim in 1989, and it is called WWF WrestleMania. So this is the first licensed WWF game for the NES, but it's the second overall game that they had. They had one for, I think it was like the Commodore 64 or something like that. It's a pretty simple game. There's a single-player exhibition match, or you could do two players head-to-head, or you could do a tournament. You choose one wrestler, and you got to defeat the other five wrestlers in a series of matches to win the championship. In a two-player tournament, you can choose, you can play up to six wrestlers. So basically a total of like 15 matches. Because you have to go back up and then back down again. So this is the roster for 1989. You get a roster of Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Macho Man, Bam Bam, Honky Tonk Man, and the Million Dollar Man. Each time you scroll over the character, they plays in a nice 8-bit version of their theme. The opening has a great picture of Hogan at the, you know, ripping his shirt and stuff. There's no finishers on here. There's no grapple system. The only one that can do a body slam on Andre Giant is Hogan. And so what do you guys think of this one?
You know how many hours I wasted trying to body slam Andre the Giant with anyone else but Hogan? And didn't realize he was the only fucking character that could body slam him. The sons of bitches.
I was so excited. I remember I got my mom to buy this game for me. It was in a local video store years ago. And I was so fucking excited. Because, I had a Nintendo. Here's a goddamn WWF game, and it's got Hulk Hogan on it. And I got home, and immediately, I was 6 years old when I finally got this game, which is long after it was released. Immediately disappointed. Put the game away. Just gave the fuck up.
Yeah, what struck me about this game, because I played this game with Gary when we were kids, is, so you only see, basically, I would say, three sides of the ring. And there's no crowd, so there's no sound effects other than the grunting of the guys. And as you're wrestling, your guy that's getting beat on turns red, because those ones can inflict more damage because they're angry, apparently. And then all of a sudden you see this shit fly across the screen. And here there are items that you have to pick up to gain health. So, Honky Tonk Man has one that looks like, I think it's either a guitar or a music note. And then Hogan has a crucifix, which I guess makes sense.
Oh, yeah, totally does.
I figured it should have been a syringe needle that flew across the screen.
Oh, fuck.
Guess you can't put that in the game. Yeah. But, this game's something.
It reminded me of, the old studio wrestling, because that's kind of how it was filmed. It's just ring and darkness. There's no crowd. It's just two guys in this case, two little spirits kind of slugging out poorly in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just,
Good.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny when we just left NES Pro Wrestling, that was made by Nintendo, and then you got WWF coming in and making their own, and it's like, really? This one looks like it should have been made in 85.
It is weird that you had the games that came out before this that were better. If you said it, I'm sorry, I missed it. Who produced this game?
Well, it was developed by Rare, but published by Acclaim.
Okay. Yeah, Acclaim kind of got a really shitty reputation, at least early on.
Yeah.
They picked up by, at least I'd say, the Sega games.
Yeah, they did. They were bigger into doing, arcade ports and stuff. So, because I know, they did WrestleMania Arcade, and then they did games NBA Jam and stuff. So, they did get better down the road, but on the NES, I would steer clear of these games. But I like the music. I like the 8-bit version of the music. Anytime I can hear an 8-bit version of the Honky Tonk Man theme, I get excited. I guess that is one positive. So the next game was a sequel to WWF WrestleMania. Again, published and developed by the same companies. This one came out in 1990, and it's WrestleMania Challenge. This time you don't get the Hulk Hogan ripping the shirt off opening thing. You get the Warrior flexing with his WWF title around his waist. This game lets you pick between a 1-on-1 match, a tag match, or a 3-on-3 Survivors match. If you do this 1-on-1 match, you can do a championship mode. But you can't pick any of the wrestlers. You can only pick a character called Yourself. And I guess it's the first introduction of the Creator Wrestler thing, even though you can't edit it. And you've got to defeat all your wrestlers to win the championship. The roster in the game features Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Andre, Big Boss Man, Macho Man, our favorite, Brutus the Barber, then Rick Rude, and Jim Duggan, and yourself. Again, you cannot grapple, but you do have some finishing moves, from what I've seen, and I've tried it a little bit. It almost has like a Fire Pro Wrestling look to it, the way the ring is like isometric. There are stamina bars, and that's really all I can say about it. I mean,
it definitely looks better than its predecessor. The graphics are better. The intro with the Ultimate Warrior is pretty cool. But I don't remember much else about this game at all.
I guess I skipped this one. For some reason in my head, this and WrestleMania were the same game. Mm-hmm. So going back and looking at it, yeah, I mean, like Gary said, the graphics were a little better.
Yeah.
But it, you know, meh.
If you think...
This one actually had a crowd.
Yeah, it did. It had a crowd. The 8-bit music for each wrestler's theme, like say if you pick like Warrior and Macho Man, those two themes would play during the match.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The character looks were one of the things that I had a problem with. I know I sent it out earlier that Rick Rude in this game kind of looks like a Lance Storm with lime green pants.
Yeah, and, you're right too.
And Hulk Hogan, holy cow, in this game, he really looks like he sat in a tanning bed and, like, fell asleep. Because that man is, like, beef jerky color in this game.
I tell you, one of the design things I did like about this is the little stamina bars mm-hmm. put on the aprons of the ring. I thought that was a kind of cool touch.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of make it a little bit more immersive, I guess, in regards to instead of having this gigantic bar across the top of your screen.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think the only negative I have, because, I mean, the controls are a little bit sloppy and stuff, but I just didn't like it in a championship match. You have to use a character yourself. I would much rather them have picked another wrestler. I mean, in 1990, maybe do, like, Typhoon or something and let me go through a championship match with somebody else rather than myself.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, time out. So in 1990, the champion was the Ultimate Warrior. You had the Macho King, Randy Savage. Hogan is still bigger than life. And you just said... You wanted to play as goddamn Tugboat.
No, I was meaning like if you're gonna subtract, you're gonna subtract a character, or like subtract yourself and add somebody. I mean, I would rather have Piper in there.
No, I'm with you. I'm just busting balls because I can. I will say this though, even though like yeah, you're right, Rude's character does not favor him at all. I thought that especially, even though Andre is kind of easy. I think Andre and Warrior were probably the two best-looking characters in the game.
Oh, yeah.
For the 8-bit era, you know?
Oh, yeah, because Warrior's going to look ugly coming down the pipe here when we talk about another game. But yeah, I definitely like the look of those two. And even Savage and Boss Man don't look bad. It's just those two stood out to me so much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So... We'll leave the WWF for now, and we'll move on to one that I consider probably the best pro wrestling game on the NES, which isn't saying much, but this one is a classic. I don't think many people have played this one from just talking to people, but this is Tecmo World Wrestling. If Tecmo sounds familiar, then you know the Tecmo Bowl game, and the greatness that it is, well, they did a wrestling game. And this one features several firsts that I've seen in a wrestling game. First, it features a play-by-play by announcer Tom Talker at the bottom of the screen. He talks in word bubbles, but he essentially, you know, calls the match. A little bit of a translation issue from Japan. The Northern Light Suplex is now the Northern Right Suplex, but whatever. The game features a training sequence that's really important because it helps you build up your character and can help how much damage you take and how much you can inflict. You can choose between sit-ups, squats, or a push-up. The game also features an instant replay. So if you've ever played Tecmo Bowl and you score a touchdown and they show like a little cutscene, they do this in this match, in this game, where if you hit a finisher or a nice move, there'll be a little cutscene like that. This game features 10 wrestlers, which is, at this point, is the biggest roster wrestling game has had. There is Akira Dragon, which is supposed to be Inoki, El Tigre, which is Tiger Mask, Pat Gordon, is Luthez, Rex Beat, which is Road Warrior Animal, Jackie...
He looks like Mr. T.
He does. He really does. Jackie Lee is a play on Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, but it's actually supposed to be Ricky Choshu. Boris Chekhov, the Russian, is actually Stan Hansen. Mark Rose could be either Flair or Rick Rude. Then there's Julio Falcon, which is supposed to be Hogan. Randy Gomez, Harley Race, and Dr. Gildo is supposed to be Vader.
He's supposed to be Vader?
Yeah. Based on...
I would have never guessed Vader.
Well, it's based
Wait,
on...
What year was this?
This is 1990.
Oh, Jesus Christ, they already tried to put Vader in a game in 90?
Yeah.
Wow.
They really nailed Hogan. I think the look of Hogan... If Hogan was Asian and old, like super old, they nailed it. He's kind of wrinkly, and he has like white hair instead of his like silken China doll hair that he has in real life. But, they really nailed it. And Mr. T, I can see the Road Warrior thing. It does look like Mr. T in the Road Warriors.
It does.
But, yeah.
And even Tiger Mask, I mean, you can tell that, that's Tiger Mask. Mm-hmm. But, much like pro wrestling on the NES, there's 11th wrestler that you can't play, but he's the main boss at the end once you've gone through everybody. And his name is Blue King, but he's actually supposed to be Super Strong Machine.
Man, I'm going to say this real fast. I don't know if you guys have watched a lot of Super Strong Machine. I am personally a huge fan. I think he was underrated as a worker. The Machine's gimmick is fucking awesome. I love when WWF used it for a second.
I did too.
And I'm pretty tickled at the fact that we have had two Super Strong Machine references in one episode. So, gonna take that with stride and just ride that wave. Please continue.
There's gonna be a lot of like Japanese wrestlers and stuff referenced in this episode, so it should be exciting for you fans.
Okay.
But this game is basically as basic as NES, but that doesn't take away from the overall gameplay. You can do one or two players, but if you pick one, you can only win by pinfall, submission, and count out. So basically, you're gonna run through all the wrestlers on single player mode, and once you do that, then you defend your title, and then you take on Blue King. So really, I have nothing bad to say about this game. It can be a little difficult at times, but the controls, the gameplay, the look, everything's great. The only thing I would bitch about is there's not a tag team mode. But other than that, I can't say anything really bad about it. So you guys think?
I love this game. This is probably my favorite NES wrestling game. I think it's by far, leaps and bounds, the best looking of all the NES wrestling games. It has multiple camera angles. If you go on the outside, it flips the camera angle around to give you a better picture of the action. The moves look really good. You can tell what they're actually doing, which, I mean, for most of the other games that we've talked about, you couldn't really tell what the hell move they were trying to pull off. I think the commentary thing at the bottom's pretty cool, even though the guy that's talking looks like a creep. But, I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about this game. It's a lot of fun.
I'll be honest, I'm pretty dumb to this game. I never had any experience about it. I've always seen, you know, I've seen, like, different people cover it and talk about it. Never had a chance to play it, but it looks fun.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it up for dirt cheap, so it is a cheap get, and I have a lot of fun for it.
I mean, it has a ton of moves. I mean, a lot of, not like Fire Pro diverse in regards to moves, but for the NES at this time, very diverse. I mean, they had the sharpshooter, the airplane spin, back body drops, a lot of various different punches and kicks, a lot of different moves off the top rope. You could do a lot of different things on the outside of the ring. It was a lot of different things you could do.
Look, as bad of a game as it was, all right, tag team wrestling did have sharpshooter.
Yeah.
So
it did.
So I want to break. I played a lot of tag team wrestling. I'm not proud of it, but I played a lot of it.
Okay, so we're almost done with the NES. Thank God. So the next one is another WWF game. It's the third attempt by them on this one, and it's a downfall from WrestleMania Challenge. But they changed developers. They went away from Rare, and they went with Sculptured Software, which would end up doing a lot of their NES games and stuff. This one is also published by LGN, which I've always said, if you see the rainbow, just avoid them, because there are not too many good games of theirs.
It's so true.
But this one is WrestleMania Steel Cage Challenge.
As bad of a game as it was, man, I was so fucking excited. So you gotta think about my age. I see WWF on the title. Man, I am fucking just shitting rainbows. And they were terrible LJN rainbows. Because, oh shit, man. Alright, I'll tell you, and I'll let you go ahead and explain the game. But I just want to tell you about one of my first experiences of this game. I decided it's Steel Cage Challenge. God damn it. I'm gonna wrestle in a steel cage match. That was a fucking mistake. I wanna say I was Randy Savage.
Yep.
And I was wrestling on somebody random, this fucking IRS, somebody like yep. that.
He's in the game.
And I'm beating the shit out of him. I mean, I don't know the controls are pretty shit. And I'm beating the fuck out of him. And then I run, cause I don't know the controls. And I hit the goddamn cage. Guess what happens? I don't get the fuck up, and he climbs the cage and beats my ass. That match lasted like maybe 60 seconds at the most.
Yep.
And I tried to play it. Once I found out we were going to do this podcast and you sent me the list of games, I went back, and I'm like, you know what? Steel Cage Challenge was pretty good. Guess what? Maybe 5 minutes. I tried my best to win. Every time that motherfucker was down, he'd get up and get my ass off the cage.
Yep.
I fucking hit the cage, and he whoops my ass and wins the match.
Yep.
I got a big beef IRS. God damn it.
Well, the game includes one-on-one mode, which has a steel cage. There's tag team and the World Heavyweight Challenge Championship mode. And you have to basically choose one wrestler and defeat all the other ones, become the champion. Or you can do a tag team championship mode. And that's why you're going to see. So you kind of see a little bit. I mean, they had DiBiase and IRS. So, I mean, I guess there is a tag team champs. But this NES roster includes Hogan, Savage, DiBiase, IRS, Bret Hart, Undertaker, Jake Roberts, Sid Justice, Roddy Piper, and the Mountie. Now, the only difference for this game compared to, because it came out on the Master System and Game Gear 2, you take out Roberts, Justice, Piper, and the Mountie, and you replace them with Ric Flair, Papa Shango, Michaels, and Tatanka.
Now I'm going to have to go back and look for those versions to play, because I had no clue this came out for anything else but NES.
Yeah. Same here. See, and I did some research beforehand, and I could be wrong. It looks like the graphics actually looked a little better for the Master System.
Yeah, it did. The Master System looks good. The Game Gear has the same, basically, graphics as the Master System. The NES, it's a step back compared to WrestleMania Challenge to me.
Huge step back.
Yeah. And it seemed like it went downhill from there because the next, or the one, the other WWF game we'll talk to, I mean, it's got bad. But, yeah, I mean, the negative is wrestlers move very slowly, especially when it comes to the cage match. Like Court said, if you run into the cage, you're done. But if your opponent's laying on the ground, you manage to get to the cage and climb it. As soon as he gets up, you just fall. That's how it goes. Again, no grapple system. No, everyone has the same standard move, and there's no finishing moves. So,
This game was complete dog shit. I own this game. I remember playing as, I think I was Piper a lot. And I remember you can get on the top rope, and this is how I would win the majority of my matches. I would try to knock my opponent down, go to the top rope, and literally you could hit your opponent from anywhere in the ring off the top rope. He could be on the opposite corner, caddy corner from you, and you could hit him, and it would always connect. It was, like, impossible to block, and that's how I would do it. Piper was like the predecessor to the cruiserweights when I would play, because he would just jump off the top rope constantly and hit a fucking double axe handle until I could knock him down enough to pin him.
He's one of those Mexican jumping beans.
Yes, exactly. Goddamn Mexican jumping beans.
Well, yeah, I remember playing this with Gary a bunch and being so frustrated with this game, because I mean, as a kid, I didn't watch wrestling at this point. But I knew enough to know, like, well, Hogan's the best one in here. And I remember Gary using Piper, and, like, for the life of me, could never fucking climb that fucking cage. And there were times where I would get close, and Gary would get up, and then Hogan would just, like, all of a sudden just fall. I'm like, what the fuck?
And I would, now telling you 20-plus years later, I would just wait until you got close to the top, and then I would get up on purpose, because I knew you would fall off, and it was funny to me.
You son of a bitch.
I love it. We did this a lot in video games, as we could do a whole podcast on the history of Joey and I's rivalry in video games.
Yep.
And the fucked up things I would do.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen to his defeated voice. Understand.
Don't ever fucking play a football game with him where the fucking, like, plays come up on the screen, because he will fucking screen watch like a motherfucker.
I will.
You son of a bitch. Yeah. I'll never play Madden with you. I mean, I don't know when the fuck I'll ever hang out with you, but I will never play Madden with you.
But, alright, so it doesn't get any better after this. So now, WWF has already come out with 3 games. Nintendo's come out with 1, and Tecmo's come out. Now WCW feels like it needs one. So, this one features the Road Warriors on the front, who, believe it or not, at this point, are not in WCW.
Alright, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to cut you off real fast, because when was this game released?
It was released in 1990.
See, that's hilarious, because I swore it was released the year before, just because, strictly based off the roster.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because, alright, I'll get into this. So now, this game is developed by Nichibutsu, which I don't know this company, published by FCI. I know they would publish some other games and stuff, but this game was actually a Famicom game released in Japan called Superstar Pro Wrestling. It featured wrestlers like Giant Baba, Inoki, Hansen, Invader, and the Road Warriors are the only ones to appear in this game that would eventually appear in the WCW version. So that could be a good reason why they're in this game. So
that makes sense. But it's weird they're on the cover.
Right, exactly. And why, I mean, I can't remember, I don't know, maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I would assume, I don't think, was Steamboat still with the company in
1990? Do you know roughly what month? It wasn't long. He was mainly there only in 89 for the most part.
And I would think, I know Gilbert left in 1990.
Oh yeah, early 90.
Yeah, so
I don't know how games work like back then as opposed to now, because you see it in a lot of the current, like the 2K WWE games, where they'll still have somebody like Stardust who had been gone for 6 months but still be in the game. Maybe even more so back then, it was harder to take people out since you already had like a 8-bit sprite of them. But yeah, that's one thing. That's what's wild to me is I always thought this game was released in like early '89 just strictly because of the roster.
Well, I'm guessing that there was probably a year turnaround as far as the, at least translating this game. Because I mean, essentially, the sprites they kind of look like their counterparts, but everyone's got long pants and stuff. But I think it's just a matter of doing the title screens and stuff like that. But the roster is the Road Warriors, both Animal and Hawk, Ric Flair, Michael P.S. Hayes, Sting, Lex Luger, Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert, Kevin Sullivan, Steamboat, Dr. Death, Rick Steiner, and Mike Rotundo. Each wrestler has 8 selectable moves once you select that wrestler. But you can only pick 4 out of the 8. So, at the end, if you're playing single player and you wrestle through all of the wrestlers, you face an end boss called the WCW Master. This, in the Japanese game, was Andre the Giant. But they don't own the rights to Andre the Giant. So in this one, he still has the Andre the Giant singlet. He's still big like Andre. But he slapped a Sin Cara mask on him. Well, that's what it looks like.
Yep.
And that's your end boss.
Which is so weird. I mean, now, I'm not looking at it. Did he look like a machine's mask? Because it could have been Giant Machine, you son of a bitch. Now, we don't know who that was.
I mean, it could be.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look like a Giant Machine's mask. It kind of looks like an assassin's mask.
Yeah, it's got like a weird grin to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I bought the game because I have a weird thing that I love Eddie Gilbert. And
that's not too weird.
So, yeah, I'm looking at it. That is definitely a machine's mask. Come on.
Okay, well.
I think. I mean, maybe I'm just wanting it to be. And even kudos, he has the blue singlet.
Yep.
This game is the complete drizzling shits. The only redeeming quality of this game is the box art. I bought this game specifically because I love the art for this game. The label is cool. But other than that, and some of the character select screens are kind of cool.
The character but select screens are badass, but yeah, I'm with you. It is so weird. They went like old school. All these guys are dressed like they're like in Memphis or something. Everybody has tights with black trunks over top.
Yep.
So weird.
I will say one thing that I didn't notice about this game until now, and Gary might notice it once I pointed out to him. If you've ever seen an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, when Dennis gets his mom's house and he decides that they want to throw a party, so they make invitations to this party and it's supposed to be a forearm that's flexing, but it looks like a penis, they throw that exact same silhouette into this game at the title screen. And as soon as I saw that, I about wet myself because that's immediately where my mind went.
What up?
And it's red.
And Bane.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I played this game a bunch of times. I just played it recently, and I couldn't even beat Michael P.S. Hayes.
You suck. No, I'm playing. This game was frustrating as fuck.
Yeah.
I just hate Michael Hayes.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, the only positive, like you guys said, were like the title screen, the graphics, and things like that. But other than that, that's about it. There's nothing redeeming about this game.
Let's move on and leave it in history.
Okay, yeah. Well.
Which is sad because I was so excited because it is WCW or / NWA's only venture into video games for the 8-bit.
Yep.
And yep. This is what the fuck we got.
Yeah, well, it didn't get better coming down the 16-bit area either. We're officially going to be done with the NES because this is the last game that gets published for the NES. They don't go back to sculpted software for this one. still published by LJN and developed by Grey Matter. So 1993 saw the release of King of the Ring. So at this point, let's give a little backstory. So at this point, the SNES has already been out. It's been out since, I believe 1990 or 1991. So Nintendo is now just releasing these last bit of games just to get them the fuck out of here. Because they still thought people still had the system, so... this game's not Muscle or Tag Team or WrestleMania bad, but it's definitely not great, not fun. So it's based on the King of the Ring pay-per-view. There is a single elimination 8-man tournament. There is a created wrestler that you can do, but you can only, it only works if you have a guy that's got 3 letters in his name.
Yeah, that was annoying. But let's mention that there is tournament mode.
There is.
And there's King of the Ring mode.
Yep.
King of the Ring mode is actually an 8-man tournament. Tournament mode is just your championship mode, which is very confusing.
Right. Yeah, and the confusing doesn't stop, because in this game you have wrestlers such as Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, Yokozuna, Savage, Razor Ramon, Lex Luger, Bam Bam Bigelow, Mr. Perfect, and of course yourself. But when we thought the cage game was terrible looking, this one's worse. Like, it looks dark, everything's blue, the wrestlers look average with no facial detail, everybody has the same move set, and nobody has a finisher. The only thing that separates each wrestler from one another is these attributes that they show you at the beginning of the game, and that's it. Everybody else is the same. So obviously, like, guys like Hogan and Luger are the strongest, but let me ask you this. Out of all the wrestlers on this list, who is the fastest one on this game?
Uh-huh.
Well, you would think, like, maybe, like, Shawn Michaels would be the fastest, or Randy Savage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's Razor Ramon. He's the fastest one on this week.
That makes sense.
So.
Only, like, 280.
Yeah, and he's 6'7", so.
That game was awful. I remember playing that. I don't think I had it for very long before I got rid of it. It was so bad. It may have been one of the worst, if not the worst, NES wrestling game. I hated it. I hated everything about it. It was worse than Steel Cage Challenge. It sucked.
Well, the funny thing is this game came out after Super WrestleMania, which we'll talk about, and...
Wow, I didn't know they released anything on NES after that.
Well, I mean, Super WrestleMania's come out for SNES already in Sega. And then I think Royal Rumble's not too far behind at this point that year. So this comes out in the same year as Royal Rumble and, you know, like I said, Super WrestleMania's already been out. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, if I'm going to pick a game, it's definitely going to be this one.
I remember always seeing it. I keep going back to that video store that I used to go to all the time. And for some reason, I don't know why, they always had this game priced higher than the rest, which is why I got to get WrestleMania, which is why I got to get Steel Cage Challenge. I never was able to get King of the Ring because they wanted too goddamn much for it. So I've never actually played the game. I've watched a lot of gameplay online and stuff. And it, you know, it looked pretty damn bad. But, I mean, honestly, from you guys that have both played it, is it worth spending the money for now?
I have it. I'm not proud to say I paid $20 for it, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. So, I guess we can move away from the shitstorm. So before we dive into the 16-bit era, I just want to touch on a game real quick. There was a game that came out for the Atari 7800 in 1990 called Mat Mania. It's a port of an arcade game called Mat Mania Challenge. Not much information I have on this. I've seen that their main character is a guy named Dynamite Tommy, who's supposed to be Dynamite Kid. if you look at the arcade game, there's characters in the background that resemble Batman, Darth Vader, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and stuff like that. It's supposed to be like kind of like the NES Pro Wrestling, but I haven't seen it and seen much on it, so there's that.
Okay.
So, all right, so now we'll move into the 16-bit era. So,
ooh, yay.
The WWF was the first one to produce a wrestling game for the both systems. Published by Sculpture Software, but published by two different companies. So if you had an SNES, you had LJN. If you had Sega, you had Flying Edge. This one came out in 92. What's unique about this game is it has different rosters depending on which game you had for which system. The graphics and sound weren't too much different from each one. But this one has three modes. It has 1-on-1, tag, and a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. The Genesis has a championship mode. That's one wrestler takes on the whole roster for the belt. So, real quick, the roster size for the NES is 10 wrestlers. Genesis had 8. So, the only wrestlers that appear on both games are Savage, Hogan, and the Million Dollar Man. The SNES has Roberts, Undertaker, Sid Justice, Legion of Doom, and the Natural Disasters.
Wait, is that NES or Super Nintendo?
It's for the Super Nintendo, SNES.
Okay, you're fine. Sorry, I misunderstood.
That's alright. And then the Genesis has the Ultimate Warrior, Papa Shango, IRS, British Bulldog, and Shawn Michaels. And there's still more differences between the two from what I could tell. The SNES doesn't have any different moves for the wrestlers. They all wrestle the same. But the Genesis has the wrestler have their own finisher. And they can pretty much hit it any time. The one nice thing about this game is we now get a grapple system. It's the tug-of-war system with the little bar that would pop up that looks like a pill that would move from side to side depending on who's hitting the button the fastest. And we would get the first thing of Howard Finkel announcing each wrestler as they come in. You get nice music with each wrestler. And we also see Bobby Heenan and Vince McMahon in the background doing commentary for the match. So,
that was one thing that I always enjoyed, was actually seeing the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it added to the show, you know, to have the commentators there. I personally had this for the Sega, by the way. Did you guys own this game?
For the Sega, I had it, yeah.
I didn't have it for either one, but recently I bought it, and I bought the Sega version strictly because Warrior was on it.
I've always been more of a Warrior guy, but I was a little bit upset that Super Nintendo got Sid, and I couldn't get Sid.
And this is like the 16-bit generation kind of did this with Sega and Super Nintendo, where they would have characters on one game and not the other, and vice versa. And I always remember that pissing me off when I was younger, because there would be certain characters I'd want to play and have matchups against each other, and I couldn't because I didn't own both systems, so I wasn't made of money. I was like 8 or 9 years old when this came out.
I wonder why that was, too, because you think it was a ploy from the WWF to say, alright, well, if they have both systems, we can get double the money out of them, they can buy both games.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Because I never in my life have ever owned a Super Nintendo, which I found out later in life, and I've missed that on a lot. I went straight from the Nintendo to the Sega.
Well, see, Gary always had, well, after it hit the NES, he had a Sega Genesis. I didn't get one until later, but I had a Super Nintendo. So, it's surprising that me and him never, you know, bought the same game but for the different systems and tried them out, because it would have made perfect sense.
It always pissed me off, and I know we'll get to another game later, but man, just watching it, the next at least two games from WWF, and seeing how drastic some of the rosters were different, Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind, man. Like, I still haven't gotten Super WrestleMania for the Super Nintendo. Because, like I said, I grew up on a Sega version just to play it. But I know, I think I touched on this earlier. Playing this on a Sega, my favorite person to play as was the Ultimate Warrior. Even though Warrior did not look his best on this game.
He looks like he had a pad blade job.
Like, you know, this was Kerry Von Erich. That's all I can think of. This is Kerry Von Erich did a blade job, and he put him in the game. And they're like, hey, it looks like Warrior. But anyway, what I remember most about this game, besides just playing it, and you hear the guy's entrance music, which was awesome to me, Papa Shango, who I was scared as shit of as a child, he beat me in the championship mode. And after a guy beats and wins championship mode, their music plays. I literally was so scared of Papa Shango that in a goddamn 16-bit game, his theme song plays. I run out of my bedroom and made my mom come in and hit the A button so it would skip to the main screen. That son of a bitch scared me so much. I love him now. He scared the shit out of me. He's a dick.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the one thing reading about this and stuff that would have pissed me off is knowing that the SNES, you don't have finishing moves, and everybody's the same. At that point, it's like, well, what's the fucking point? You know? I can win a championship. You don't even have championship moves, so I guess you can't win it with anybody. Win it with Hawk. But whatever. So, a year later, we get Royal Rumble for both systems, published by the same people and distributed by the same companies. It's basically Super WrestleMania, but there are some things that are different. You get a triple tag, you get a Royal Rumble. This time, each wrestler for both systems has their own finisher. They can use it whenever. But they still share the same pre-move sets. The rosters, the mainstays on the rosters are Bret Hart, Taker, Michaels, Razor, Randy Savage, Crush, and the Narcissist. But on the SNES, you get Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect, DiBiase, Yokozuna, and Tatanka. Genesis, they give you Hulk Hogan, IRS, Jim Duggan, The Model, and Papa Shango. Before I get into the Royal Rumble, so I'm guessing we all had the Genesis for this one?
Yeah, I definitely had Genesis.
Yep. And Royal Rumble, because, you know, you can only have four guys in the ring at the time. But I mean, I think the Royal Rumble became something that when you play it, you know, for future wrestling games from here on out, Royal Rumble pretty much became like the best thing that you could play on a video game, it seemed like.
I would say this was probably my favorite Sega Genesis game that I owned. Now, I also later in life got it for, because I've got one of those like retro trio gimmicks. So I got the Super Nintendo version. So, like, I was so upset playing that. I've been a huge Mr. Perfect fan my whole life. That motherfucker should have been in all the games. But one thing that always stuck out to me, because I loved it, like, even though it's basically the same engine as a game we're going to get to later from WWF, I always loved this one the most for some reason. The theme song was awesome. You know, everybody's theme songs in 16-bit sounded cool as shit. My favorite person to play as was Crush. Don't know why, I was a huge Crush mark when I was a kid. So he did that little brain smash gimmick, the Kona Crusher or whatever. Whenever you were beating someone's ass, the noises they made just made my life. That's all I think about for some reason. It was awesome.
Yeah, I know Gary and I, we played this one a lot, including the next one we'll talk about, the Monday Night Raw. I feel like we play Raw a lot more than we did Royal Rumble, but I definitely like the Royal Rumble one a lot more. And like you, Court, I have the 3-in-1, and I just bought the SNES one for Ric Flair. But yeah, I like this game. I know that it's probably not the greatest games in the for the systems, but I mean, I loved it.
Well, it's definitely a huge jump up from the 8-bit era. The graphics, I mean, all three of these games are essentially the same game with different rosters. There's little different changes and nuances and modes, but they're basically the same game. But they're such an improvement from that last generation in regards to graphics, gameplay, and like Court said, he liked the Kona Crusher finisher and stuff, and that looked cool. I tell you who I played with a lot on Royal Rumble was IRS. I loved the whole running clothesline gimmick that he had at the end. I thought that was, and that's kind of how I picked who I would play was based on their finisher and how it looked when the match ended. So I usually ran with IRS.
See, and it did look sweet, but I never played as him. I was always so goddamn mad when he hit that sweet ass clothesline on me. Cause I was crushed, and goddamn it, I was gonna crush your skull. Nope, here's IRS to fuck my day up.
I remember always too, like, when I would finally play this, like, I think I would always either be Razor or Shawn Michaels, but Randy Savage would always fucking piss me off as the computer would have him. Cause it's like, you couldn't, like, I don't know, just like, you'd be fighting somebody, and then all of a sudden, here comes Randy Savage out of fucking nowhere. It's like, get the fuck away from me. I know when Gary and I would play, we would always make it to where, cause you would start out with the first two guys in the ring. We would never touch until the end. And we would always help one another if one of us was getting overmatched with the computer or something. But as Gary said earlier, there was a lot of fucking damn near fucking bloodshed when we were the final two at the end. Holy shit.
See, I didn't have many cousins or anything like that my age. That, at least like male cousins, you know, closest to my age was girl cousins. So I would always have like little friends from school and shit like that. We would make the same deal. And they would always get so goddamn mad at me. Cause apparently I cheated every time cause I whooped their ass. They didn't play wrestling games. So of course I knew what the fucking buttons were and I beat the shit out of everybody.
Well, Gary would do a thing where until I caught on and said something, then we had to make it fair. But like, it was essentially like, depending on if I threw the last guy out, it seemed like it was always when I would throw the last guy out, he would automatically just grab a hold of me and then chuck me because I wouldn't be ready. Until finally I was like, listen, we can't, you know, and then finally, like, we would wait. And then, like, okay, now let's go. But yeah, he's like, oh, fucker, he beat me a bunch of times doing that shit.
Like I said, Bobby Heenan is my hero, so I live by that.
Felt like I was
hanging out
with Eddie Guerrero here. But
you must have listened to a lot of fucking Jesse Ventura, because one of my favorite quotes in wrestling history is, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. God damn it, Gary, you son of a bitch.
I'm a heel for life.
So, segueing into this one, next is obviously Raw for the SNES and Sega. 94 was a big year for wrestling games because a lot of these are going to come out in 94. So the only difference is Flying Edge didn't do the Genesis one this time. It's Acclaim. Same for everything else. This is a carbon copy of Royal Rumble. The only difference is, on top of the tag, the title tournament, singles, Royal Rumble, there is a Bedlam and Endurance mode. The Bedlam is basically a tag match. It's essentially like a tornado tag. The Endurance match, though, is a mix between Survivor Series and a Bedlam, in which players pick his wrestlers. Then you could do up to about five partners. But you can essentially go into a 6-on-1 handicap if you want. And it's basically, you have to eliminate everybody. So, the roster's a little bit different compared to the last game. You got Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Shawn Michaels, Razor, Undertaker, Lex Luger, Bam Bam, the 1-2-3 Kid, Diesel, Doink, Yoko, and Luna Vachon. However, if you had the Sega Genesis 32X adapter, you could unlock Quang if you wanted.
I have a really fucked up story about that. I'm so glad you brought that up, because if you didn't, I was going to. So, I used to either, I owned a lot, or I would rent from the local video store a lot of the Coliseum Video home releases. At the end of one of the Coliseum videos, Todd goddamn Pettengill in his motorcycle from Hulk Hogan was telling me what the code was to unlock Quang. I did not have the 32X. But I thought this code would unlock Quang anyway. I remember specifically for a goddamn hour, I would go to the tape and switch over to Sega to punch in the fucking code. And I just thought I kept doing it wrong or I was doing something wrong. Then I found out it wasn't for the regular Sega. I didn't give a shit about Quang. I just wanted to unlock a new character on my Raw game. But these motherfuckers just tricked me. Not on purpose. God damn it, I was like 7. And wanted to play as another character.
Yeah.
But I will say that I did love playing as Owen Hart. I love this fucking music. This is honestly, I credit this game as what made me fall in love with Owen Hart's theme song. One of my favorite characters to play with, however, was the 1-2-3 Kid. Because I love doing the fucking moonsault.
That's my Randy Savage for this game. Fucking 1-2-3 Kid, fuck you. Oh, he pissed me off.
So, I looked up Quang because I didn't know he was in this game at all. I'm about to hunt it down on my RetroPie now, too. He looks like the fucking Great Muta in this game.
Mm-hmm. He basically was.
It's awesome. I'm very excited for this.
So basically, everybody has their own finishers, but there is also a thing called Mega Moves, which are moves that are greatly exaggerated, and it's basically, because Mortal Kombat was big at the time, so a lot of fighting games and I guess wrestling games decided to incorporate these things. So that's why you get moves like Luna Vachon's midair spin, where she would land on you. So those are available in the game. And this time, instead of Bobby Heenan and Vince McMahon, you get Jerry Lawler and Vince. I agree. I love the Owen Hart's music. I played a lot as Owen Hart. I also like the 1-2-3 Kid's music in here, but I hated that little motherfucker in this game.
I hated Luna, because Luna would whoop my fucking ass, and I was so goddamn mad about that.
And Gary and I would always comment, doing the clown in this game looked like a demented cross between a circus clown and Beetlejuice. But, yeah, so, I mean, I like this game. Put a lot of time and effort into this fighting game.
I think one of my favorite, you could also punch the referee in this
game. Yeah.
You can knock the referee out. I
always did.
One of the coolest things to this. Oh, yeah, of course. It's awesome. And then they lay there like a dead fish, which is fun. But I think one of my favorite moves in this game is one of those super whatever fucking
Mega moves.
You balled it. Yeah, Mega Moves. You balled the fucking guy up, and then you booted him in the ass, and he flew like 15 feet in the air over the top rope and onto the floor.
And it made a noise and went, woo!
Yes!
Yeah, that's right.
The funny thing is, we would be doing the Royal Rumble, and I would hear that, and I'm not paying attention to, I'm just paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm like, well, who the fuck did that? And, I don't know, but somebody's gone. And I think with this one too, if you get eliminated in the Royal Rumble, if you hit, I think it was select, as soon as you got eliminated, you would get the next character that came in. So you didn't essentially lose the game. But sometimes you get stuck with Luna or the 1-2-3 kid, but. Another thing too that cracked me up is when you do these, and you go to eliminate somebody like Yokozuna, they would just chuck him out like he, like, had no weight issue. Like he was light as a feather.
Yeah, just threw that fat motherfucker at the ring, easy as shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game is definitely a big difference compared to the next WWF game we'll talk about later, but Miller time.
Sorry.
Roll Tide. Anyways, so the next one we'll talk about, we'll get away from the license games. This one's a little, I think, is underrated. I love it. It's Saturday Night Slam Masters for the SNES and Sega. It's essentially a game that's developed by Capcom. And it's piggybacking on the Street Fighter Mortal Kombat craze. But a little backstory with this game. It's essentially a prequel to a Super Nintendo game called Final Fight. And there's a character on there named Mike Hagger who becomes a mayor of this town. He's a retired pro wrestler. And this gang moves in and kidnap his daughter. So himself and two other guys have to fight the streets to save his daughter. Well, in this game, there's a pro wrestler named Mike Hagger. So, essentially, the Japanese version states that this is essentially a prequel to Final Fight. So, in this game, it's a pro wrestling game, but like I said, it's like Street Fighter. It's exaggerated animation, exaggerated moves, and things like that. But one of the things that stand out to me is, one is you get an entrance, which you didn't have with any of the other games. Like, there's one character, I forget who it is, he comes out like Vader with the mask and the steam, and you got, like, lasers going all around and stuff. And also, too, there was height differences with these characters, which you didn't have in any of the other games. So, it's a game I like. There's different modes for the different systems, and I'll get into that later, but what do you guys think of this game?
This game's a lot of fun, and I'm kind of pissed off at you because you mentioned the entrances, and the entrances are awesome, but you missed the best entrance of the entire game, which is Rasta, who comes out with a goddamn monkey
yeah, he does.
On his shoulder. It's badass, and he's in the corner the whole time during the match. He just hangs out on the top rope.
Yeah, I did forget about him, but yeah.
It's your fault.
So, some of the wrestlers in this game are, and they're not really based on anybody of any significance. You get Jumbo Flapjack, Bill Slamovich, Gunlock, the Great Oni, Titanic, Tim, El Stingray, Mike Macho Hagger, which is Mike Hagger, like I said it earlier, Alexander the Greater, King Rastamon, and one of the bosses is the Scorpion. So the difference between the two ports is the SNES has a team battle royal, which if you had a multi-tap, you could do up to four players and stuff. I thought I liked that, but the Sega Genesis doesn't have the team battle royal. Instead, they have an exclusive deathmatch mode in which the ropes are barbed wire, there's steel chairs, and there's also explosions in the ring.
I wish I had this game. Like, I've always heard about it, and I've gone back and researched it. This game looks fucking badass, man, but I never had it.
It is badass. A lot of fun. I liken this to the Techno series on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my favorite, like, non-licensed game. The barbed wire match is pretty fucking badass, a death match. It has a chair in there. There's explosions. The graphics are awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a game that I always heard about, but I didn't know much about. And then once I got older, I decided to buy it, and I love it. Yeah, it's to me, I would probably say that this is probably my favorite pro wrestling game on a 16-bit console. Just based it off of, like, not nostalgia or anything like that, so yeah, I definitely love this game.
And it looks fantastic, mm-hmm. too. A lot of the moves look great. I mean, even the cartoonier moves look good. They have a pretty sweet Perfect Plex in here, where it actually looks like the Perfect Plex. And like I was saying before, the deathmatch for the Genesis version is pretty badass. They have bombs on the outside of the ring. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. It also, too, to me, almost has, like, that Japanese, 90s Japanese style feel to it, also.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the things that I did like, that, you know, it's, like, it's just something about it, I can't really put a finger on it, but it definitely has that feel. So. But now we'll move on to a not-so-good game. So, we're gonna move on to... WCW Super Brawl for the SNES.
Oh, this game.
So, FCI, who published the first WCW game, is back again. This time they use Beam Software, who, I forget what games they're responsible for, but I'll give it credit. I will admit, at least this game, they decided to make it look good, and it seems like they were trying to go for a Fire Pro type of vibe, because they do the isometric look, but good lord. Good fucking lord. So the game opens up with Tony Schiavone telling you, welcoming you to WCW Super Brawl, and then you go to where you have to pick either one-player mode or two-player mode. Then from there you go to pick your whatever and that type of match you want to have, and then go to the roster. I was so pissed off, and I didn't notice it until today. When you go to the first screen, Steve Williams, Stone Cold, is on that picture, but he's not in the game.
Why the
fuck would you do that?
I don't know if they cared.
I don't know. Apparently they didn't care because, again, WCW has an issue with roster, people on the roster, and I'll get into that here in a second. Because he should have been there. He was still with the company. But no, they would rather have two wrestlers that were not wrestling for them at the time on this game. So, with this being coming out in 94, I'm guessing they did this all in 93. So, you don't have Hogan and you don't have Savage on this game. Instead, you have Barry Windham, Brian Pillman, Dustin Rhodes, the Natural, Court's favorite, Johnny B. Bed, Nature Boy Ric Flair, Rick Rude, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, All-American Ron Simmons, Sting, Vader, and two guys that were not on the WCW roster, Rick and Scott Steiner.
So this sounds more like a 91-92 roster.
Yeah.
And when was this released?
94.
Holy shit.
Rick and Scott Steiner had just left the WWE in 94.
Right. Wow. I remember getting this game and being really excited to play it. Because it is WCW's only adventure into 16-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Steelcase, WWF WrestleMania, being immediately disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I rented this game because at the time, like I said, I had a Super Nintendo. I had only played some of the games that Gary had for the Genesis. And I remember going to a video store looking for a wrestling game, and almost kind of wanting to rent the ones that Gary had, but I was like, well, I'll just look for something different.
I don't know why I didn't rent, like, say, Saturday Night Slam Masters, but I rented Super Brawl. And being really excited, too. And being highly disappointed.
But you have to give it this. This game has maybe the most awesome, like, character select screen ever made. I mean, the characters are kind of moving around and dancing.
And talking!
It's really gorgeous. I mean, it is. So, like, 8, 9, 10-year-old me is definitely into this game. Even the graphics for the game are really good.
Yeah, they are.
It's just the substance of the game, the gameplay and everything else is just so god-awful terrible.
My only criticism with the way some of the wrestlers look is Johnny B. Badd and Vader. Vader doesn't have long pants on his singlet. He's got, like, you know, shorts. And it looks like...
Oh, it's so weird!
Yeah, and he's got, like, the alien face hugger for a fucking mask. Johnny B. Badd, I mean, he just looks totally off to me. It almost looks like...
You're talking about how dark he is.
Yeah, it's just like, he looks like Ron Simmons with pink pants. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense, but whatever. I don't know, it's just... The thing that did stick out to me is Tony Schiavone would pop up every once in a while to say something of somewhat substance. The referee looks like he's like holding himself because it looks like he has to pee. I don't know. I mean, the game's fine as far as like what they were trying to do, but I don't know. I'm just highly disappointed with this game, and I fucking own it too. So go figure.
Yeah, fuck this game. I mean, everything besides the gameplay is super fucking exciting. And you get to playing the game, and I just want to fucking go sit down in the corner and not do a goddamn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I did like that, like Gary said, you know, you would have at the selection screen, they would, you know, kind of move around and say a catchphrase, like Sting howls and stuff like that. But even when you would do a finishing move, like, that same little thing would pop up with Sting or Ric Flair and do the woo or something like that when you put on the finisher. I did like that, but that's all we can say about that one. So now we'll move to a different game that, much like Saturday Night Slam Masters, it's unlicensed as far as there's no wrestling promotion tied to it. And this one is Hammerlock Wrestling for the SNES. Now, this one was published and developed by Jalico. You might know Jalico for doing the Bases Loaded series for the 8-bit and 16-bit systems. But actually, this you guys will like this one. This game was actually named at and came out in Japan first. And it was based on Tenryu and his faction Revolution. So essentially this game was a war promotion video game. So it comes out over here and Tenryu is basically the only character that's still called Tenryu in this game. But there is an exhibition mode which allows four different players to compete against each other. There's a tag team format. Now we introduce the round robin tournament with six different wrestlers to compete for a league champion. There's also a standard tournament for up to 8 players, and it can also be used to an alternative round robin format. They also have top ranking for the wrestlers. And they also divided the game up into into three different sections. The middle being the actual what's going on in the ring, and then the top and bottom are for each wrestler and the crowd, kind of like a cutscene or whatever. So you can essentially see, like, you know, the power moves, the finishing maneuvers, and stuff like that. So it was real hard for me to find the list of all the wrestlers that are in this game, and I'm not quite positive that the actual game names are right, but I'll essentially just tell you who they're supposed to be in here. So Tenryu's in here, and you got Stan Hansen, Hulk Hogan is in this game. Road Warrior Hawk, Lex Luger, Misawa, the Great Muta, Abdul the Butcher, Yokozuna, Hashimoto, and looks like there's another one. I'm not sure who he is, but that's who's in the game.
Now, I'll be honest, I've never heard of this game. I'm somewhat vaguely familiar with the Japanese version. Never heard of the American version.
I've never heard of this game until maybe in the last year.
I know that based on reviews that I've seen, it doesn't seem like it's gotten very good reviews because the people have had issues with three screens. Because, again, you are compressing down the what's going on in the ring really bad. But, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, I would have rather seen a game based on the war promotion rather than this, but.
Well, to be fair, with the war promotion, he probably didn't have the budget to do things.
Yeah, probably not.
I played this a little bit before we did the show. The three screen thing is very distracting, and it really doesn't add to anything. So, it's something they could have kind of did, sort of like Super Brawl did with Tony Schiavone, just pop up in the corner every once in a while, and it would have been fine. But when 2/3 of the screen is just like cutscenes, and it's already hard enough to see the characters as is, to me, it kind of took away from the game.
Oh yeah, totally. That's why, like, I have no desire to buy it. But, so, we'll move on from that one. This one I actually do like, and I recommend this one. It's called, Natsumi Wrestling. It's for the SNES, and it was published and developed by Natsumi. They did a lot of, they did some games here in America, but they did a lot of All Japan Wrestling games. The game essentially plays a lot like Fire Pro. As far as like the grapple system, it's more of a timing system. There's, you know, weak and strong grapple moves and stuff. The modes that they got is an exhibition mode, a round robin tournament, a championship tournament. Each wrestler has pretty extensive moves compared to what most wrestling games have. There are 12 wrestlers to choose from. Obviously, their names are going to be changed, but they're essentially based on. There's one based on Jumbo Tsuruta. There's one based on Fuchi, Ugawa, Kawada, Kimura, Dan Spivey, Dr. Death.
Wait, Dan Spivey?
Yep.
Wow.
Johnny Ace, Hansen, Gordy, Kobashi. I think that's it, yeah. So,
sounds awesome already.
Yeah, I own it. I played it a little bit. It does have that Fire Pro feel. It doesn't look like a Fire Pro game because, you know, it's not isometric like they have it, but I like it. It's fun. I think it's definitely underrated of a game, and it's fairly cheap. So if any, some court, you haven't played it. Gary, have you played it?
No, I haven't played it. It looks cool, but I don't have the port for it. I haven't had any luck hunting it down, so I haven't played that one.
Well, I mean, from what I could just tell you, the game, it does have some difficulty, and again, I'm not used to playing Fire Pro, and we'll talk about Fire Pro more in a different, another episode, but the game does look pretty. I mean, the graphics look nice. It is, like I said, it's just essentially a Fire Pro game. So yeah, I would recommend, if you have the means, check it out.
Me love Fire Pro, so you're speaking my language.
Well, so we're going to talk about the last game tonight. I'm surprised we got through all 20. So the last game is obvious. It's the last game that the WWF would release for the Sega Genesis and the Super Nintendo. And that is WWF WrestleMania, the arcade game. So this game came out at a time when Mortal Kombat was hot, when NBA Jam was hot. So why not go to Midway and have them come up with a game? So they did. And this game essentially is, if you want to talk about Saturday Night Slam Masters, it's kind of like that. It's more of a fighting style game, but it's real cartoony. As you all know, there's only two modes. Intercontinental Championship and WWF Championship. Intercontinental, real quick, you have to win 4 one-on-one matches, 2 handicap 2-on-1, and 1 3-on-1 match to win the Intercontinental. The WWF mode, you have to win 4 2-on-1s, 2 3-on-1s, and run a gauntlet. But it's essentially medium mode and hard mode, basically. The game features a different roster. Genesis has Bam Bam, Doink, Luger, Razor, Shawn, Bret, Taker, Yokozuna. I think that's everybody. And then the Super Nintendo, you get no Yoko and you get no Bam Bam. So, trying to think what else I could say about this. I mean, it's the motion capture graphics. Let's just talk about this game a little bit. So, what do you guys think?
Well, okay, so do we all have it for the Genesis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, my favorite part of the game is every time you would hit Yokozuna, a whole goddamn chicken would pop out of him.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to talk about was, much like Mortal Kombat, obviously they're not going to allow bleeding in this game, so bleeding represents objects like whole chickens or hearts. My favorite was dumbbells coming out of Lex Luger.
Yes! And I did like the idea of, so you got to wrestle yourself at one point, so they have a different color, which they wouldn't do close to, like, say, like a Bret Hart. You could have easily done, like, opposite colors, because he would do that. Nah, he's in green. Taker's in red. Like, it was really random, you know?
I did like that Bret Hart, if you picked him and you end up having to wrestle him, you would get a blue one. And that brought me back to the Hart Foundation when they came out to the blue singlets.
Right, I mean, you're right. I thought it was green. You're right, it was blue. Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I guess it made sense. Like, Taker with red gloves did not make sense. That was strange. But, I mean, at least they did try to differentiate them.
Yeah. I did like the graphics for it. I mean, the crowd looked really cool. And I've played the stand-up arcade of it, and it was fine. Personally, my favorite ones to use was either Razor or Shawn. Razor, whenever he would do the chop, he would have like a razor blade for an arm. Shawn Michaels had the baseball bat, which I liked.
I think Doink had that buzzer hand.
He did have the buzzer hand. I know Taker would hit you with a tombstone. I know Bret did the headbutt, and I think Luger had like the metal forearms too. I mean, yeah, it's a fine game. I can tell Gary's excited talking about it.
Yeah, I'm boycotting. I'm not a big arcade-y type game person in general. I bought this game. I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. WWE. Like Court was saying earlier, it had WWF on it, so I was gonna buy it. I hated it. I don't think I played it very much. I got annoyed with all the goofy shit that was going on in it. I was, at that point, kind of craving a game that had a little bit more than what the Raw and Royal Rumble had, even though I played the shit out of those. I was kind of wanting more of what we have now, with like the season modes and the what they call it, universe mode or whatever the hell it's called now. And that didn't come for a long, long time after, and I'm sure the next time we talk about games, we'll get into, like,
World Dungeon
and all that bullshit, but, yeah, this game was just not doing it for me at all.
There was actually, I'm not sure if it's the arcade cabinet version, or it's like the Sega Genesis or one, but there was actually a character in the game that was being developed, but they never fully developed him, and if you essentially broke into the game, you could essentially find this character. And the programmer for this game said that he worked on a game 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 months, and one of the characters they wanted to put in the game was Adam Bomb. But it was, I guess, too much to program in the game to use. So, essentially, if you're able to, you can break into the game, and Adam Bomb's in there. He's just not fully developed, and you really can't play as him, but he's in there. So, Adam Bomb was eventually going to be in this game.
I will say this about the game. The game looks good. I mean, the graphics are really good. I mean, all the goofy shit that they put in it is cool. I mean, as far as looks, but that's about it. That's all I can really
mm-hmm.
say on it.
I enjoyed it, though. I mean, it wasn't half as good as my favorite games of any of this we've talked about, which is Royal Rumble and Raw, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it. I'll go back to it every once in a while. I mean, I do like the Vince McMahon commentary freaking screaming into the game and stuff. And I remember, like, walking through an arcade and you'd hear him freaking scream at you as you walk by. But yeah, I mean, I agree with Gary. I mean, the graphics are great, but I would have probably preferred maybe, like, another Raw or Royal Rumble type game, probably with those graphics, though. But, I mean, the funny thing is, though, and it will kind of segue into another episode down the road, is that they essentially did the same game again for, like, the PlayStation, which would become In Your House.
So, oh, God.
Yeah, so you wouldn't get a truly good game for the WWF until SmackDown, I think. I mean, I guess Warzone's okay and stuff like that, but I like SmackDown better myself. And I don't know. And part of me too, if you're gonna do a port of an arcade game, why not fucking Wrestle War or something?
WWF had some of the most awesome arcade games. I that
that's what I meant. WrestleFest, yeah.
Probably one of my fuck. Like, yeah. Why not port that fucker? Like, I would have played the shit out of that. I always wanted to. Anytime I'd go to a pizza place or an arcade and saw that in there, I'd want to play the shit out of that game. It looked awesome. It had, like, fucking backstage promos. It looked like they were on television. It was the shit. Yeah, why not port that instead of this fucking drizzling
code? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all I got, guys, for 8 and 16-bit. I didn't think we'd get it through all of it, but we did it.
This was fun, guys. I'm not gonna lie.
I had 14 pages worth of notes on this stuff, and it was very time consuming. But I did have fun doing the research for this. I'm looking for. I don't know how much I'll be looking forward to the next one because so much shit to cover. I'll have to put a limit on what there is. But I mean, yeah, and there's still plenty of stuff out there. You know, really haven't talked about any of the handhelds or the arcade games and stuff, so, I mean.
We gotta talk about WrestleFest sometime.
And Fire Pro. I mean, I would much rather talk about those than Superstars 1 and 2 for the Game Boy, so.
Oh. And Superstars for the arcade.
Now, I don't remember playing that one.
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I've seen it. A buddy of mine's played it too, and it doesn't hold a candle to WrestleFest.
I played WrestleFest.
So fucking good. Why that was not released as a game on any kind of a home system? Fucking travesty.
That would be. I mean, I'm not all for buying the old like big giant arcade machines and sticking them in your house somewhere. But if that one came up and was in good shape and was, and I had an ability to get it in my house without my wife knowing, I would, definitely buy that.
I've had a chance to buy it, actually, funny enough, and the only reason I didn't purchase it was because it wasn't the original cabinet. It was like a refurbished, like, I want the original shit. And it was a good deal, and I actually kicked myself in the ass all the time for not buying it, because it was still basically original besides the actual cabinet. I wouldn't buy it because it wasn't...
Yeah, I'd be the same way. I mean, there was a guy in Pittsburgh that was selling, like, the arcade Star Wars game that has, like, the Vectrex graphics and stuff. It was, like, the best offer he would take would be, like $1,200. I was like, ah, I'd love to buy that. But he sold it.
Thus is life.
Yep. So, but no, I had fun with this guys, and like I said, eventually I would like to do a small little retro game podcast and part of this podcasting network where we got going on. So yeah, I enjoyed doing this one.
And I'd love to do a part two at least soon of like the era of the PlayStation 2, stuff like that. Do we have any kind of an idea what we may do next week?
No fucking clue.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to talk about some random shit, you know? Anything like 05 and back, let's talk about.
I agree.
Sounds good to me.
We could talk about some bullshit, smoke about and wrestling stuff.
You do that.
Who farted?
I didn't poop this time. Poop,
poop.
I figured I got to get at least one, and got one in last episode.
I got one in earlier. I don't know if anybody heard it or not.
Oh, I definitely heard it.
Yes! Yeah. So excited about that.
I tried to no-sell it for a little bit.
I tried to catch you right in the middle of the sentences, too. I waited till you took a break, farted, and then you kept going.
Want to
plug anything, guys? We want to talk about anything before we close out today?
Join Ringside Chat on Facebook. Look for my articles on PW Ponderings. I just put a part one of a 3-part series on Wing up on...
Which was badass, and I'm excited for part two.
Thank you. So hopefully part two will be up next Friday. Look for my fat ass on IWC Super Indie. I'll be there Saturday. Probably first or second.
Hopefully holding a book Fort Montgomery sign.
Yeah, I have a Ringside Chat sign and a Chaos Connection sign.
Yes!
So hopefully we'll get you on TV.
And I will personally, if I go, draw a Avocado Kid t-shirt and wear that too.
Brother, I'm about to, if we can get a following, I got 4 t-shirts in mind. Alright, you ready for this? I got the Avocado Kid shirt. I got the New Day shirt that I won't spoil for anybody. I've got the cut your hair, shave your bush, suck my dick shirt. And I've got the I'd buy drugs off Marty Jannetty shirt. Those are my 4 shirts that if this thing takes off and we get more than like 10 fucking downloads per episode, we're going to open up a Pro Wrestling Tees store or some goddamn website, and we're making shirts. So, God, if there's any jokes that we've had on now, 6 episodes that have been continuous, because God knows we probably don't fucking remember them, tell us. We'll make it a shirt. Look, if it's any chance that I can make more money and I can talk to Sonny, I'll do it.
I told you.
Somebody from our group needs to make some money in wrestling, so...
I told Gary that I think either a bobblehead or a t-shirt with the same concept of Shawn Michaels, but then put the like the googly eyes on there. I think that should be an item, too.
I don't want to poop my own horn, but poop should be a shirt.
Oh, God damn it.
Even if it's just for me.
Well, yeah, why don't we do that? I mean...
Court, you got any bookings coming up?
Oh, God, dude. I actually have a rare like couple of weekends off after you know, I had the shot with teaming with Shane Douglas. Me and Talos won the tag team titles for Seek to Destroy Cancer. We actually had a rare couple weekends off. By the time it's released, the next booking I'm going to have will be in a little town called Pelham, North Carolina for Pure Pro Wrestling. It'll be on Father's Day, and we'll be defending the tag team titles against a team called The Power, which is Ian Maxwell and Big Time Yah, who are two guys trained by George South and Cedric Alexander, who are fucking awesome guys. They have never beat us. They're like four times we've wrestled them. So, you know, we're going to go. We're going to beat the shit out of them because that's what we do. And I got t-shirts for sale. I got magnets for sale. I got 8x10s. I got 4x6s. I got all kinds of shit. Come talk to me. Buy my shit.
Any rats you want to shout out?
All of them.
Good Lord. I want to promote a match that I want to get working on. It's a hair versus hair match in which we'll put up Quartz beard with to get shaved off, and then in the other side potentially somebody's eyebrows might get shaved off. I wanted to start that match.
Okay.
Better have sharp
eyes. Right.
I have
a shitty beard. Two, those eyebrows are going to be rough to shave off, you son of a bitch. Where's Brutus Beefcake and his shitty ass when you need him? That son of a bitch.
He'll be fine. He's probably out parasailing.
We've made that joke so many times, and each time it pops me. I'm so happy about this. Fuck him. Well, guys, go. To Ringside Chat as a Facebook group. Please join us. Talk shit with us.
Yep.
Go to Twitter and follow @RingsidePod. The website for all of our podcasts is rcpodcast.podbean.com. And, yeah, just go find us. Talk to us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you like, what you hate. Anything. We like feedback. Download the shit. Listen to it. Let us know if you can only hear Gary or if you can hear all of us.
Alright. Well, I'm out. On that note, let's go.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.